Welcome to the show. This is your host, David Yannis, and you're listening to Midwatch with the Rev. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in and being a part of our broadcast today. We have some very, very special guests here today, and we, of course, have David Hunter back. Say hello.
It's absolutely great to be back. I love being here, and just looking forward to the show today.
Amen. Hey, how'd you like that? How'd you like the little jingle in the front?
Oh, I love it, man. It's funky. It had me going. My foot was going. My heart was going. I just, the thing of it is when I start dancing now, when I stop, I can't make certain. It seems like I jiggle a little more.
Oh, I think we all do.
I think we need we need some healing in that area.
Would you believe I made that? And I'm not a musician. I made it out of it's called acid software or whatever. And
yeah.
I'm not taking acid. I promise you.
Right, that. Right.
But it was like some software I put together and just threw it together. And I wanted something like a gospel type church coming in praising God.
Yeah, that's great.
So, and a lot of people call it the Shaft theme song.
Yeah. It's kind of like that. Kind of sounds like car wash.
Yeah. Anyway, but it's my mark. I guess I'm leaving. And we have Mr. D. Wittstein all the way from South Africa. How you doing, my brother?
Hey, well, and you, David?
Hey, God bless you, my brother. Well, welcome here. We have a special show for you today because this is my normal broadcast, but we're only going to be a half hour today. I'm actually going to be in Pittsburgh and flying out at 1:55, and so I got to go. So it's a quick show, but we wanted to get my brother in, and we wanted to get, of course, David in, but also wanted to get Stein in because we just know that he's here just for a short season. I want to sow into his life. I want to promote what he's doing. Yeah. And first of all, before we jump into your life and everything, tell us how you two met.
It was South Africa. It was the Healing Awakening. And Todd Bentley was doing meetings in Pretoria. And it was just before the service started, and I saw DeWitt, didn't know his name, didn't know anything about him, and I just saw him and kind of put my hand on his shoulder, and I said, "Brother, I can see that you're a man of God, and I can tell that you've got a strong anointing on your life." And he said yes, and so we talked a little bit, and then when I received my healing, when my pancreas was healed, as I told on one of the earlier broadcasts, I just took out like two rows, and I fell out in the spirit. I was laying on my back. I was laughing hysterically, and I felt this hand reach down to try to pick me up, and but it was DeWitt, and he was laughing hysterically, and the anointing hit him, and he fell on top of me. And then the ushers came, and praise God for the cloth people, the people that put the modesty cloths on, and they just laid this one big blanket over us, and we're laying there laughing hysterically.
We will not say why they put the blanket, but
yes,
praise the Lord, yeah, praise the Lord.
I was totally convinced that as a matter of fact, I remember telling DeWitt, I said, I'll never have a place or an invitation to minister in South Africa again. And he said, "Don't worry about it. I'm a bishop. I've got churches under me."
Amen.
So I thought, well, that's the way God does things. So that's how we met.
And then were you supposed to be there to do anything, or you just taking in the service? Or
Just taking in the service. I was there as a kind of a VIP of Fresh Fire and God TV. And Keith Luker and I were there just attending the meetings and supporting Todd. Participated in some outreaches there with him.
And how badly did you need this healing?
Oh, I needed it bad. I was a pastor I was pastoring a church, and I was literally wasting away. I mean, the people around me didn't know how serious it was. My family, my inner circle knew that I needed a miracle or I was going to go on to meet Jesus. And I was starting to mix kind of my one record of all the songs I had always dreamed about.
Amen.
And trying to just get things in order, trying to get my house in order and believing for a healing. So
amen.
When I received my healing in South Africa, it was just absolutely life-changing. My doctor, who is a Muslim, said, "David, I don't believe in miracles, but looking at everything and running all the tests, your God worked a miracle for you. I believe in miracles now."
Amen.
And so, yeah, I'm totally healed. And so it was incredibly meaningful to me, my time in South Africa with Todd, Fresh Fire, God TV, and more importantly, the relationship that David and I began.
And you could say it was a divine meeting.
It absolutely was.
I mean, you got your healing, and then you met your brother, and he looks quiet, but he's not.
Right.
I spent time with him. He was I just met him on a Saturday night, and this guy, I tell you, if there was a trooper for the Lord, if you were to call someone a trooper, it's DeWitt, and because he came off of a flight that he missed, got over basically 40 hours in the air.
Yeah.
And then traveling and then riding from Houston to Lafayette,
right.
3 hours at least minimum.
Right.
And then still being up and running. And I could tell he seen that bed when we were praying in the room. And I know he was like looking at that pillow.
Right, right.
And he's like, give me 5 minutes. Boy, if he would have had that 5 minutes, he would have been gone.
Oh, he would have been out.
But he stood strong, man. And he was able to preach an amazing sermon. I mean, his anointing was so strong. And I enjoy taking it in. And just because it's good to just take it in.
Yeah.
And I would just take it in. I just felt connected to him when he was preaching. And I told him afterwards, I need 2 books from you. I said, I need books from you. And he said, 2. I go, great, I'll take them.
Right.
And I want you to come on my show when you can. Because he had a great anointing. And I am gathering, and at my best, I am gathering young men, you know, between 25 to 45, you know, that kind of age bracket, just to take this nation.
Yeah.
To take America, to take the world. You know, the days of the 80, 60, 70-year-old men of God that's been out there for 40 years, 30 years, they're still going to put their out there. But God wants a fresh fire.
Right.
God wants something strong. God wants something amazing. And this man has it. And I see it. I see it on you, David. And, of course, we've known each other since high school. And so we know each other well. So I'm so grateful that you introduced me to DeWitt as well and invited me out there. We had an awesome time. Wasn't it an awesome time?
We had a killer time, man. Lafayette knows how to – they know how to throw probably one of the best God parties in the U.S.
Absolutely.
When you get a bunch of Cajuns together that love the Lord and that are – fervent and full of zeal, it's dangerous, man. It's flammable. Flammable.
We had healings, we had prophecies, things just erupted.
Yeah, it was like a buffet, man. It had everything you wanted in a 3 day or a 2 day span occurred. You know, healings, miracles, incredible prophetic anointing, and the worship was off the chain.
Oh, absolutely.
And then on top of that, the hunger of the people, the hunger and the thirst, and just, you know, filling up the ballroom was great. And so we can't wait to get back to Lafayette. I think there's more for us all three to do in Lafayette.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And wherever we fit in, wherever our ministries fit in together, just let us know. And man, we're family. So it doesn't matter. So, Stein, tell us a little bit about yourself. Me and him can dominate a conversation if you let us. We got to get you on the air. You're the reason we're here.
Well, David, thanks for the opportunity. I really appreciate it, finding favor with you. I'm coming from South Africa. I grew up in a city called Pretoria, and I've been there my whole life. God has called me to the ministry on the age of 5 to 7 years old. You know, I just became aware of the call, and I told my parents, you know, I'm going to be one of them that's preaching the gospel.
Amen.
And at the age of 7, I started preaching, and I used my sister's dolls. So after school, I'll pack them out on the bed, and I'll start preaching to them Psalm 23. And I had a healthy church at that time, because every Christmas, when my sister received presents from the family and friends, they will give her dolls. So my church was multiplying constantly.
That's more than most churches can say.
Amen. So, you know, it all started there. And at the age of 16 years old, I started a youth group in the place where I grew up. And the purpose of it was to bring the children from the street and give them a safe haven where they can just have fun and learn about God. And so we started in 1998 with 15 children. And 1 year later, we have grown this youth group to 150 children.
Wow.
By the end of that year, you know, it was about 250 people, because the parents also started to come to these meetings. So I was 16 years old when I actually had my own congregation. From there, you know, I finished school and I went to Bible school and I was working. I finished my Bible school and I still kept on working and did ministry part-time. And by 2010, God called me, and I felt the call of God to go into full-time ministry. And so 2010, I said, well, Lord, I'm going to jump. One or two things is going to happen here. You're either going to catch me or you're going to teach me to fly. Mm. And so I just made the jump. And, you know, it wasn't always easy, you know, to walk by faith and to be an upcoming and a young preacher, you know, making your mark and getting some platform nationally and internationally. No, it's difficult, but God has been good to me by knitting me together with great people, giving me divine appointments with people that can really open the doors. You know, the one day I was praying, and while I was in the itinerary ministry on a full-time basis, and I said, Lord, I pray that you will open 1,000 doors to me so that I can preach the gospel and do what you called me to do. And one night I had an encounter with the Holy Spirit, and he said to me, why do you pray for 1,000 doors to open? Why don't you pray for the one door that can open 1,000 doors? And so I changed my prayer, and I said, Lord, I pray now that you will connect me to the people that can open 1,000 doors to me. And so God is starting to align me with people that's well connected. And you know, David Hunter was one of them. And I didn't meet him by mistake or by accident. You know, I believe God has just set it all up for me to meet with him. And from there, you know, we have grown in this relationship. And now I'm sitting in the USA by God's grace and favor and just being a blessing to this nation. So I count it a great privilege.
Tell everybody about just you getting your visa.
Oh, man, that's a testimony on its own.
Come on, we want to hear it. We want to hear it.
You know, me and David was talking about it of coming to the USA, and finances were an issue because, you know, coming from South Africa to the U.S., I mean, it's quite expensive.
It is.
So I said to him, you know, if I get the finances, I'll come. But at that stage, it didn't look like I was able to come. And I said to him, yeah, we'll check it out. And so I've met two friends back in South Africa, and we had some coffee. And I was sharing with them about what God was doing in my life and that I had an opportunity for the USA. But, you know, I said, well, let's postpone it because finances, it's really an issue at the moment. And they said to me, no, you need to go. And these two friends that I had, they just came together and they said, we're going to make a plan so that you can go. And they said, we'll gather the finances for you to go, but you need to sort out your visa. I said, that's okay. So I worked through a travel agent in South Africa, and I asked the lady, I said, you know, I need a visa for the USA. And she phoned, and she phoned me back, and she said, well, I phoned the offices, and you can only get an appointment for your visa 2 weeks down the line. So it was actually supposed to be that by the 14th of November that I was supposed to get my visa appointment. And that was the first day. The Friday, she phoned me back and she said, I don't know what happened, but the offices of the U.S. in Pretoria phoned me and said, well, they have an open slot for you 8 o'clock Monday morning. Can you make it? And I just told her, well, schedule me for the appointment. I'm going. And so I got on in my car and I went to the USA embassy in Johannesburg where they do the whole appointment thing. And you know, it's a whole process. You know, you get in by to security, then you give them your passport and your appointment letter, and then you take a seat and they call you again and they take your fingerprints and you go and sit again, and then they will call you and tell you, you know, yes, you have an appointment, and then you will go sit again, and then they will tell you, you know, your visa has been approved, and then you go sit again, and then they will have an interview with you about your trip to the USA. That's more or less the whole process.
Wow.
And so I was getting in, and I gave them my appointment letter and my passport, and I was sitting there, and they called me, and I did a fingerprint thing, and I was sitting there, and there was a few people around me, and we started talking about visas and the USA and so on. And they said to me, well, you know, they found that they only hand out visas for 3 months or 6 months or up to a year. And, you know, some of them, they just declined, you know, they don't give them. And I said, well, you know, I believe if God wants me to go, he'll make a way for me. And while we were busy talking about all of this, they called out my number. And I went to the window and I was speaking to the guy, and he asked me, you going to the USA? I said, yeah. And he said, do you have a wife and kids on this side? I said, yeah, I do, sir. And he said, well, you can go. You have your visa. So I've never went through the whole process, the interview, everything. I mean, God just snatched me out of the row, gave me favor, and they said, your visa is approved. And when I received my visa, the process of being delivered to you was also about 5 to 6 days.
Okay.
And you know, I went to the office. They said your visa is approved. And the next day I went and I picked up my visa, and it was done.
Wow.
Amen.
It was done.
Amen.
So, and on top of that, you know, God blessed me with a 10-year visa.
Hmm.
So, I mean, 10 years, which tells me prophetically, maybe God do have a plan for us.
Oh, he does.
In this continent. And so I, you know, it was testimony upon testimony. And if I look back at how God has just brought all this together and made it possible for me, you know, I couldn't have done it by myself. You know, God divinely intervened and did a miracle upon miracle upon miracle for me just to come here.
Amen. Now, David, you shared a prophecy over him about something in the U.S.
Yeah, I felt that he was going to come to the U.S. I felt that when we met that he would come to the U.S., and I felt that God was going to really use David as a what I would consider to be a new breed kind of an evangelist, revivalist. And, of course, we all know it is absolutely a rare thing to find these guys that are new breed, what I would call new breed revivalists, that just go anywhere, anytime, by faith. They're completely obeying the Holy Spirit. And when David and I met, I just knew that was the kind of guy he was. And I knew that if he could get here, that that the places that would open up, that he would be very, very well received. And, I'm what I like to call a supernaturalist. Mm. I believe in the supernatural. I believe that the unseen realm is more real than the seen realm. And so all these things that are going on behind the scenes, you know, the word says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but it's principalities and things going on in the heavens, in the unseen realm that we can't see. And at the same time, we understand that he's God. He's Lord of all. He's the God of the angel armies. So I really believe that this trip for David and coming to minister in Louisiana and Texas and on the Gulf Coast, I believe it was ordained by God. And the response of the people, the healings. Yeah, I mean, David, from the service that we all did a conference together for those that are listening. And the healings that were reported in your meetings, Gina, my wife, said she just couldn't believe it because she could hear the bones cracking. Mm-hmm. and that she was seeing the healings manifest before her eyes and the testimonies that were pouring in. And then another thing that was outstanding to me is David didn't have any background on these people. These are people that have been partnering with our ministry for many years. And he had no background on them, and every word that he gave, every prophetic utterance that he spoke was absolutely spot on.
Amen.
And then, of course, not every evangelist or revivalist has it on them, but the sound of deliverance. There is a tone, I think, not just for musicians, but also those that operate in the prophetic. It pierces through. It pierces the darkness, and it pierces that hard shell, that hard heart sometimes, and it bypasses the carnal mind, and it goes into the very, very deepest parts of our spirit, and it's a sound of deliverance, and it was just an awesome honor, you know, to minister alongside David and see what God's doing in him, and know that that sound of deliverance is on his life, and he's carrying that sound and that prophetic authority with him wherever he goes. So God's doing big things. And, you know, let's face it, we all like to be around people that God's using, and we all like to get in on the ground floor.
Amen.
You know, that's why I love Rev Media so much, and I appreciate your heart, because we're in on this on the ground floor. And if you're listening today, this is something fresh. It's not, you don't just find what we're talking about on every corner or in every church. It's incredibly rare. You know, we are supernaturalists. We're revivalists. Mm-hmm. We believe in healing. We believe in miracles. We believe that signs and wonders chase us down.
Amen.
You know, we're not after the signs and wonders so that we can get the glory and hoard the glory for ourselves, but we believe signs and wonders follow them that believe. So signs and wonders, just like goodness and mercy chase down, signs and wonders chase down those that are supernaturalists. And all three of us are supernaturalists. And I think that's kind of one of the common threads in our DNA here.
Yeah.
As we sit and talk.
Amen. Now, Bishop, tell us about your ministry, about what you're doing back home.
Well, back home, I planted a church at the beginning of this year, and it's under the network of a great general in the kingdom of God, Dr. Theo Wolmerans, and we've planted a church there in the west side of Pretoria, in the place that I grew up. You know, let's be real here. I mean, let's take off the religious masks and just be genuine to one another. I believe, you know, God has called me to plant this church a while ago, but I was running from it like a Jonah, you know. I didn't want anything to do with, you know, planting the church. I was okay, and I was comforted in the place where I can just go into a church, you know, bless them, stir the fire, and get out of there. But one night the Holy Spirit just cornered me and said, it's time for you to plant a base. It's time for you to plant a church, which I believe will be the first of many to come. And so we have a church that we are pastoring at the moment. It's a new church. It's a young church. It's a church filled with fire and a hunger. And then we are reaching really to touch the surrounding communities and uplifting them into the place where we can really say, let your kingdom come, let your will be done in
yes.
this place as
yes.
it is in heaven.
Come on.
And then that's the church. And then I do have an itinerary ministry that I'm moving around and preaching the gospel and stirring the fires of revival wherever I go. And that's what I do for a living at the moment.
Mm. So you have other churches underneath you as well?
I do have. I'm also part of another network, the IFOCC. They are based in America under the leadership of Apostle Turner. And I am the assistant presiding bishop for Africa for this network. And so, yeah, under me at the moment, we have about 100 churches in Africa. And we are discipling them, we are coaching them, we are helping them in leadership skills, you know, to grow their churches, to impact their cities.
Come on.
And so, you know, I count it a privilege once again to be in that position, because under me we have 100 churches, which is 100 pastors, but through the 100 pastors under me, you know, you do not only impart into 100 people, you are affecting communities, and at the end of the day, you are affecting cities.
Mm.
So we can really make an impact for the kingdom of God in the continent of Africa. Africa, it's a great place, you know.
Yeah.
And I believe that God is raising what people call the dark continent to become one of the biggest lights that will lead the new revival move of God in the seasons to come.
Amen. And he's so humble. You know,
yeah.
So he saved that to the end.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Most ministers will lead off with, I'm a bishop of 100 churches.
Right.
And you could tell he just kind of like, okay, you want to know about that? Sure, I'll share about that.
Yeah.
you're very unique, my brother. And
Thank you.
How big is your family? You got a lot of family members? And
yeah, I have a fiance, and so I'm not married yet.
I seen her picture. Awesome.
Yeah.
Good job.
It's an upgrade.
Good job, brother. Good job.
You married up. It's an upgrade, bro.
Hallelujah. That's a big amen on that one.
So fiance, you got brothers, sisters? Or?
I have a sister.
You still preach to her dolls or no?
No, not anymore. She's married and they have a little boy. And then I have three kids of my own. And, you know, my parents are still alive and they are supporting me in the calling. Attending the church, helping me with all the admin and all the stuff that we need to do. So my family is well and they are alive. And you know, it's a privilege once again, you know, to have them back me in this calling and supporting me in what God has called me to do. You know, there are some people that's running alone. Their wives are not supporting them, families are not supporting them, but God has gave me a strong support system that's behind me, you know, to see destiny fulfilled and the calling being fulfilled upon my life.
Amen. You know, I'm looking at my banners because we started about the same time. I knew that's where we're connected as well. Full-time, yeah. Going just all the way in with mine was maybe 2010 as well.
Yeah.
And I was doing all this, but this was actually full-time when I was doing it full-time, the ones that are hanging here.
Yeah.
And the other ones are 09, well, 010 and 09 in India. I don't have those banners. So it's like we're knit with that, brother.
Amen.
Because it's the same season for me. So it's like God launched us at the same time. Because Rev Media was the station, Rev Media Network, was built in 09, and then the publishing was built in 05. But, you know, it's all just putting it in where I can. But it really didn't start taking off till 2010, 2011, really going because I was that step of faith. And so anyway, that's awesome. So what do you got planned? What do you have planned with him while he's here? Because he's a fireball.
You know, he's going to be Friday and Saturday. We're going to be at Honey Island Assembly of God. He's going to be ministering there with me. I'll be doing the worship, and we'll be kind of tag teaming prophetically. And then Sunday evening, he's going to be at a great church, New Life in Batson, Pastor Bill Campbell. And then by divine appointment, and totally by divine appointment, he's going to be with some of the best friends that I have in the world, Donnie and Jessica Robbins. They pastor Life Church in Port Arthur. It's one of the fastest growing churches in the Golden Triangle. Their worship is absolutely amazing. 100% a prophetic church, a church that believes in miracles and divine encounters. So I just believe
God's
gonna...
What date is that?
The date for the men's conference hasn't been set yet, but they're setting that. So I don't know those exact dates, but the dates in Honey Island, Friday and Saturday, and then
Sunday
in Batson. Yes, Sunday evening in Batson at New Life off of 105.
Now tell everybody how they can find information for that.
Yeah, if you need information on that, why don't you just, but many of you that are listening, you've got a phone, hopefully. you can text by cell phone, text 41411, and then just the keyword in the text box would be Global Fire, all one word, and then it'll send you a little text to accept, hit yes or no, and then you're just in the loop for everything that we're doing. You can also go to my website, www.ointmentforkings.com. You can also follow us on Facebook. I've got one fan page, and that's David Hunter Jr., and then just my regular Facebook account, David Hunter, but both of them, very obvious who I am, you know. I'm the bald guy that always seems to have my finger pointed towards something.
And he's always smiling.
Always smiling.
Oh, I guess I have that same problem, too.
Yeah.
Stein does, too. But yeah. Stein is like, he's looking at you like, do you understand me or not?
Right.
A certain look there when he looks at you like, is he getting this?
Yeah. You know, one thing I want to get in here, you know, we've got tons of friends in Uganda. So many people listening to this broadcast in Uganda, and I am so excited. Gina, my bride, is going to fly with me, and we're going to do revival conferences with the Miracle Centers all throughout Uganda. That's where we'll be spending our Thanksgiving. So we'll be there. We fly out November 20th, and then we arrive home on December 4th. And for anyone that wants any information about what we're doing in Uganda, you want to partner with us somehow, text 41411 Global Fire, and or visit our website, ointmentforkings.com, and it's very clear how you can donate or give a love offering. And we just appreciate all our partners, those that invest their time, their energy, or their finances. We just know that there's a mighty harvest coming and that you can be a part of that. So we just so thank the people who partner with us in all our global missions endeavors.
Amen. You know, and all the Rev Media listeners, I've been doing this for 5-6 years, and you know when I endorse someone, I mean it wholeheartedly. I endorse David Hunter, I endorse Global Fire, and endorse Stein. I endorse these guys because I know their heart's genuine. I've worked with them. I can see that the ministry that they do is not for self glory. It's for the glory of the Lord.
Absolutely.
And it's just a good thing when you find people, because out there, I tell you what, and I would tell you on my end, the healing ministry can be a very lucrative type ministry, and you see people just go off the chart and just, you know. But I'm glad that I keep myself grounded. I'm glad other men of God, as ourselves, keep ourselves grounded, and our main purpose is the missions of the Lord, and just to do the work.
We stay connected.
Amen.
One thing that I so appreciate about Todd Bentley, and by the way, Todd's going to be
Plug it in.
Yeah, Todd's going to be here in Humble in the month of February, and you'll be receiving all kinds of information on that. I'm sure follow-up interviews, and I'm sure call-in interviews with Todd as that time approaches.
He'll be sitting in the studio one day with us.
Yes, he'll be in the studio. And, you know, Todd Bentley, one thing that I appreciate about my good friend Todd is that, and David will tell you, he does prison outreaches. He goes to the poorest of the poor. So not only is he doing these mega events for God TV, but in his downtime, when most guys would be sleeping in a hotel room and getting amped up for the evening meeting, Todd's out ministering in the shanty towns. He's ministering in the prisons, ministering on the streets. And so he just keeps it real. And I'm so grateful that there is a new generation of healing evangelists and supernaturalists, as I would call them, that, man, they're out there on the edge, but they're not too big to go out and say, man, if it's on the streets, God, if you want to use me, or the prisons, or in the shanty towns, I'll go there. So that's an awesome thing, and I agree with you wholeheartedly, David.
And what's the date for that again?
The date for Todd? Todd will be in Texas. I believe the dates start on the 6th of February and then run till mid-February sometime. And I believe it's just prior to him going to Korea.
Okay, when's he going to be here at the church?
February 6th through the 9th, as I remember, yeah.
6th through the 9th at Words of Life Church. And that's Words of Life Church at 7811 FM 1960 East 77346. And you can find us on the internet as well. And we're going to advertise it, put it on our Facebooks and stuff. Yeah. We're going to go to a quick break. We'll be right back and see what God has for the second segment.
I'm sure you know there's a lot of hatred toward Muslims these days, but God doesn't feel that way. In fact, he's been moving heaven and earth lately to show them his love. Here's what I mean. I'm Perry LaHaye with Cast Yourself In. Recently, a flood hit a Muslim area in Asia. Jacob, a believer in Jesus from that area, struck out on a rescue mission with his boat. He found 25 Muslims on a small patch of high ground. They climbed into the boat, and when they did, the center wooden plank in the boat gave way, but it didn't sink. Jacob knew Jesus was keeping the boat from sinking, and so he said to these Muslims, "This is the work of Jesus." As soon as they reached safety and climbed out of the boat, it slowly started to sink and then disappeared in the water. These Muslims praised Jesus for the miracle and now want to know more about his mighty power. Pray they'll put their trust in him. Jesus is doing amazing things in the Muslim world. He invites you to join him there. Your first step is at frontiersusa.org. Cast yourself in.
Trace Embry with insight for today's culture.
Is your child eaten up with a sense of entitlement? Does he show no appreciation for the things you've provided him throughout his upbringing? It may be that he's never had to endure delayed gratification. Whether a preschooler or a teenager, when one of our kids is overly anxious for us to purchase or otherwise provide something that is extravagant or more of a want than a need, parents would do well to say no for the time being and see how Junior responds. We can tell a great deal about our kids' hearts during these times. Where we go wrong is when we're not willing to deal with our child's negative responses. No needs to be the standard until Junior can deal with a no without embarrassing himself or you. He'll come to appreciate things, and that sense of entitlement will start to go away.
If you'd like to host a License to Parent weekend at your church, contact Trace Embry when you go to licensetoparent.org. License to Parent with Trace Embry. Insight for today's culture.
Hi, I'm Peter Stanway from The Way Christian Ministries. Are you one of those people who open the package and read the instructions? Or are you one of those who ignore the instructions, preferring to work it all out for yourself? Some Christians have the same attitude towards the Bible, the instruction manual for life. Some try to work out Christianity for themselves and don't quite manage it. And there are those who read the Bible, listen to the Father's instructions, and become disciples of Jesus. As Christians read the Bible, the Holy Spirit who inspired it begins to bring us revelation and insight that unlocks our full potential. The choice is ours. Follow the Maker's instructions and be built up as God intended, or ignore the Bible and its life application and do the best we can based on our own understanding. What will you do? Lord Jesus, thank you for doing what our Father told you. Amen.
Pedophiles. They live and hunt in our midst, prompting some to call for forced microchipping and tracking. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht, and in a moment, I'll tell you why chipping even the most heinous offenders is a very bad idea.
Your search engine is watching you, recording all your searches, and creating a massive database of your personal information. That's creepy. But it doesn't have to be that way. Startpage.com is the world's most private search engine. Startpage doesn't store your IP address, make a record of your searches, or use tracking cookies, and they're third-party certified. If you don't like Big Brother spying on you, start over with Startpage. Great search results and total privacy. Startpage.com, the world's most private search engine.
In our surveillance-mad society, there's a wise Chinese proverb we should keep in mind. The fire you kindle for your enemy often burns you more than it burns him. Chipping pedophiles might sound like a good idea until we realize it won't stop there. First pedophiles, then drug dealers, then drunk drivers and tax cheats, and finally that guy who built a deck on the back of his house without the right permit. Next, they'll tag nuclear workers, food workers, then teachers, and eventually they'll come for us all. No matter how good forced chipping looks, we must say no. Big Brother has surrounded us with dried kindling, and he's hankering for a match. Let's not hand it to him. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht. More news and information at CatherineAlbrecht.com.
In case you haven't noticed, there's a culture war raging in America between the ideals of the American Revolution on the one hand and the French Revolution on the other. The humanistic French Revolution of 1789 is based on secularism and class envy. The American Constitution is based on Judeo-Christian values. The French attempted to erase the foundations of the past and start all over again. They executed everyone that had money just because they had it, and that's called envy. The American founding fathers all had money. The French ideal has resulted in worldwide socialism, all based on class envy. God's law says, "You shall not be partial to the poor or the rich," Leviticus 19. God promises to supply the needs of those who keep his covenant. Galatians 5 says, "Those who envy will not inherit the kingdom of God." Come and hear more at Church of the King, McAllen, on Ware Road, just south of Trenton, 585-4402.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host again, David Yannins, and we have a very special guest in here, Mr. Stein. I like calling him Stein. He reminds me of the wrestler.
Yeah.
He's a big guy. I don't know if you see, remember Stein.
Oh, yeah.
He was a showstopper there. You're the showstopper in faith, brother.
He knows a little Taekwondo. He's being
humble. Oh, really?
Yeah, man.
You know Taekwondo?
Yeah, a bit.
Oh, man.
By a bit, I bet he could throw me over his shoulder and just mop the floor up with me.
And not even break a sweat.
Yeah, not even break
a
sweat.
Well, maybe throwing him over.
You know, he doesn't like the cold weather, though.
You don't?
No.
This is cold. The wind out there is freezing.
Well, you know what? I believe it because he's from Africa. So
right.
And it's like every time I land in there, it's like I look outside my Nairobi hotel and everybody's like in winter jackets and it's like this. It's not even this.
Yeah.
It's like burly spring weather for us.
Yeah, they were doing that to me, the Healing Awakening. People tried to, where they were giving me shawls to put over and coats and offering me jackets, and I was wearing my short sleeve in the arena. And I thought it was great, man. It felt like, you know, it felt like something we don't get very much.
Hey, but you like the cold.
I do. I kind of do.
Yeah, because, I mean, over there in Lafayette, I was like wearing pants and stuff, and you were in shorts walking around. I'm like, dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
You like the cold. I don't try not to get too cold because then it affects my voice, and I'm always doing radio, and then it's like I tell my wife I got that hey, darlings.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The only time of the year where I'm like, the Love Dr. Rev on the air right now.
I love it.
Hey, but before we went to the break, we were talking about different things and different things that each of us do and everything. How wonderful it is to work together.
Oh, it's great, man. I mean, to me, coming together, you know, DeVitt said something that was a Maxwell quote, I believe. So, but he said, teamwork makes the dream work. When he said that, you know, it sparked something in me, and I so believe in that. You know, it's great to work together. And when you work, I think, in a team, you're much more effective, because if you're doing a series of meetings, maybe you're having a night where you just your voice is a little strained, mm-hmm. and it's just a physical thing, and you're looking for somebody to kind of hold your arms up, so to speak, then you can lean on that other guy. I also think it's important to trust the anointing. And it's when you know the person you're laboring with, and you're able to really trust their anointing and trust what they bring to the table and how they flow in atmospheres, mm-hmm. and how they discern things. I really do. I think there's a power in that. And so I really enjoyed the trio kind of approach.
Amen. And Amen. Now, Stein, how important is just being submitted to one another when you work together like this?
You know, I think it's very important. Let me just say it straight out. It's not a one-man show anymore. It's not a one-man that's becoming the hero. I believe it's the body of Christ. That we need to work together in this season. You know, I cannot do everything.
Amen.
There's some points that I'm strong in, and there are some stuff that, you know, I just cannot do it. So, and by the way, you know, I don't have the full revelation of the whole gospel. I have a portion of the revelation. David has a portion of the revelation. You have a portion. You know, when you bring these portions together, you have the whole picture about the whole gospel. And I've said back to the people in my church, I said to them, you know what, God did not call us to meet every need, and God did not call us to meet every person, because if it was only us, then he would have not needed anyone else. So I believe teamwork makes the dream work. I've heard an awesome story about redwood trees here in the USA, mm-hmm. and I believe they are up in California somewhere.
Yes, yes.
About how these trees grow very tall, but their root system, it's only 3 feet deep. And according to what I know, you know, if a tree goes up 100 feet in the air, then it must really go down just as deep into the ground. But this is not the case with these trees. And so I've watched an article, a program on the airplane on my way here. And they had this thing about redwood trees, and they said that these trees spread their roots to the other trees next to them, and these roots grow into one another. And, you know, to me, it's an amazing story about teamwork, because if I can connect my roots with your roots, then we can stand together and support one another. So where it maybe was a tree that was standing against the storm, because we are knitted together and our roots has been connected, now it's not a tree that's facing the storm, but it's a forest that's facing the storm.
Right.
So we can stand together, and I believe this is a season where we have to stand together more than ever before. It's a body thing. It's not a man thing. It's a body thing. You know, we need everybody to take their places in the body and arise with the anointings, with the messages that God has placed in our hearts, and work together for the purpose of building the kingdom and filling the earth with the glory of God.
Now, have you seen a lot of teamwork in your country, in South Africa?
You know, we do see teamwork in South Africa. There's networks of pastors that's really coming together and working together, building each other's churches up. Years ago, I had the privilege of being part of something that they brought to South Africa. I don't know if it was maybe in the US also, but at that time they called it the Million Leader Mandate. training of Dr. John C. Maxwell.
Okay.
And so the pastor that I was submitting to at that stage, he took this whole training course, and you know, he presented it to different churches, and I was part of that. And out of that, I've seen how people started to come together. And you know, when I'm weak, you're strong, and when you are weak, I'm a strong one. And so I've just seen how people came together and started helping one another, supporting one another, encouraging one another, and you know, teamwork makes the dream work. That's what it's all about.
You knew he was going to plug it again.
Oh yeah, it's a great phrase. Hey, I've got one for you.
Go ahead.
I said this today, and there was so much oil on it. I said, "Why would God deliver you of something that He told you to crucify?"
Mm. Oh wow,
that's good.
And when I said it, I knew I dropped a nugget. I knew it was some Wonder Bread, as I would call it. And DeVitt said, "Okay, I'm getting my BlackBerry out. Say it again, because that'll preach." You know,
amen. But it's true.
I would also say, you know, during the Healing Awakening in South Africa, especially in Pretoria, there was definitely a feeling of teamwork.
Yeah.
You know, and you just felt that everything that you did was so meaningful and important.
Mm.
I was literally so intoxicated in the Holy Spirit during the meetings. It was unbelievable. And Keith Luker and I, our one job was to take the pulpit that Todd was going to use and to walk it to the middle of the stage. And Keith would have me walk forward, and he would do the backward walking, because he just knew I would fall off the stage or bust the pulpit in two. And that was our time, man, and we knew.
No, and Todd would pray for the pulpit.
Oh, yeah, he'd pray for the pulpit. Oh, sure. And, you know, but when you had come into the arena, it was just awesome. There was just such a feeling of community and family and ministers that would just weep. I mean, I'm talking about before, the crowds would really start to gather, just when there would just be a few people getting their seats, you know. There were ministers that had been, you know, people in ministry for 50-plus years that were just weeping, saying,
amen.
Thank God,
amen.
You know, for God TV. Thank the Lord that Todd came and was obedient. And, you know, of course, everything Todd does has a real homey feel, in my opinion. You know, he's totally cutting edge, but at the same time, he's real family. And, you know, I remember we were driving to the arena, Keith and I were, the first night at the showgrounds, and Keith Luker said, "Man, I just wish they would serve hot dogs at the showgrounds tonight at the meeting. I'd love to have a hot dog," because Keith really loves baseball.
Yeah.
And I said, "Yeah, man, I could go for a hot dog too." He said, "Man, wouldn't that be cool?" And we pull in, and we walk through the door, and Todd has people, hot dog vendors that are serving, you know, everyone, you know, but the ministry team, you know, they're serving us, so we've kind of got like unlimited access to the hot dogs. And so we've got hot dogs and Coke Zero and Coke Light and
yeah.
Coca-Cola, and we go into the meeting, and I said, "Man, Todd's meeting is the only meeting that you can go in, have a hot dog, drink a Coke, and watch somebody get delivered of seven demons."
Amen. 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 I mean, that's amazing. And I think that teamwork sacrifices the flesh.
Yes, it does.
I mean, it's like I took a team to India for the first time. Usually I've been going by myself, and you see all these miracles happen in front of you, and I didn't know how, honestly, to be honest, I didn't know how I was going to handle it. Because, you know, we're going out there, and people see me when I come there. They expect me to do all the ministry
right.
and stuff. But I'm introducing these men, and when I'm introducing them, I'm like, you know, letting them take the pulpit time. And
right.
then also, we just do one big, massive prayer instead of me praying for everybody, laying hands on them. And I just could see my flesh sacrificing, and it was a good sacrifice.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes, you know, sacrifice, it feels good. Mm. And it felt good that day. And from that day on, the team analogy that I have was born, and that was a year and a half ago, and now I told them from that day, God spoke in my heart, and I conclude you on this number to gather 25 men of God like us,
yeah,
prophets, evangelists,
yeah,
teachers, just faith workers. I mean, there's so many offices that we could have running this, and we when we come together to do events together, like and what you brought to get put together in Lafayette was very similar to what you know I see us doing as far as just bringing these people in, and they need you know God's saying that they need this and this. Give these guys a call, see if their schedule's open, and go.
Yeah, it's a blast. Amen. I mean, it's a blast to step back and watch your peers flourish.
Amen.
I was telling DeVitt last night as we were driving, someone told me something about the apostolic one time that I never forgot, and it was that you know, an apostle is like someone who pulls the trigger on the gun, and the bullet's fired and sent out. And nobody has to, a real apostle never has to tell anybody he's an apostle because everybody knows who the trigger man is.
True.
And I think it's fun when you start to hit that place in ministry to where you're thinking more forward in terms of mentoring, in terms of pouring your life and what God is, the deposit of God that you have, pouring it into other young ministers and seeing them, you know, go great guns.
Oh, absolutely.
A friend of mine from Australia, Daniel Jones, he hit me up last night and he was just so desperate to get to me. And I thought, what in the world is this desperation? And he said, it's finally happened. You know, that's the text. It's finally happened. I don't know if it's a birth of a baby or a koala has fallen down out of a tree. I have no idea. And finally, he FaceTimes me at 1 o'clock in the morning, our time, and he says, it's finally happened. I said, what? And he says, I'm finally getting to meet Reinhard Bonnke. And I thought, well, that's great that it's finally happened, but, you know, I'd rather be in bed at 1:30.
Yeah.
We'll talk about this tomorrow. But, you know, it's great to see guys that you've poured into and see God promote them and
absolutely
do great things.
Absolutely. I tell you this, true love is this, and y'all have all served under men of God,
right.
And true love is this, that you see them go further than you.
That's it.
And you don't get jealous. Stein, you got something to go.
You know what? The other day, I've listened to a teaching of a great man of God. And he made a statement. He said, you need to have some ladder holders around you.
Mm.
You know, all of us are climbing ladders. And, you know, you have a goal to reach. So you're climbing this ladder, but it's impossible to climb your ladder if you don't have ladder holders around you. And you need to make sure that the people that's holding your ladder are faithful, committed, and supportive to what God has called you. And, you know, for many years, I've been a ladder holder to some pastors in my life. You know, I didn't start behind the pulpit. I started by polishing their shoes.
Mm-hmm.
I started by carrying their bags. You know, I started by taking photos when everybody was was enjoying a Holy Ghost time and just experiencing the presence of God. I was the one that had to take the pictures. But I was faithful in holding the ladders to those people, because today I can look back and I know that there's some people holding my ladder. So therefore, I believe, you know, we need one another.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, and the guys in my life that I don't think, you know, some people would say, well, there's an age limit on it. When do you know someone is your mentor or your spiritual father? And of course, you know, there's the thing where Jesus said, call no man father. But look, let's face it. There are men of God that God puts in our lives that we submit to, and they in a very powerful way, they mentor us and they train us and they teach us. And sometimes they teach us, you know, I remember at one point in my life, I said, I've learned what not to do in ministry.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But you know, it's so awesome when God, I was thinking about the late Leonard Fox. He was a powerful prophet of God that went home to be with Jesus 2012. And I was just thinking of the time he took with me. Just there were 40 other ministers at this luncheon, and he sat down across from me, and I was able to just talk to him about the prophetic and prophetic protocol. Kerry Kirkwood, another fantastic prophet that very much mentored me, you know, and just these men of God.
E.L. Mason, who very few people know about, they say that E.L. Mason raised more money for Speed the Light missions than anybody in the history of the Assemblies of God.
Wow.
And he was the first Speed the Light missionary on the missionary plane to Africa. And this is someone who my father would drop me off at 13 years old. My father would drop me off at E.L. Mason's house and say, "You're going to spend the evening with E.L. Mason." And he would tell me about Africa, and he would tell me about the supernatural. He would tell me about the miracles. And look where I'm at now. God has put me in a place where I'm able to go to Uganda regularly and pour into that nation. Now, let me also say, if you're listening to this broadcast, there's someone listening right now, and you're interested in, you want that mantle. You want that mantle. And I would say this. I was sitting in a service at my church. We had a guest speaker, and we got the news that T.L. Osborne had passed away. And I just threw up my hands to the heavens, and I said, "I want T.L. Osborne's mantle." And do you know that the church that I'm ministering at in Busia, Uganda, T.L. Osborne's spiritual children, Emmanuel and Scylla Musisis, they are both the spiritual children. They were mentored, taught, trained, brought up under T.L. and Daisy Osborne. And it was on the third night of that crusade that I heard something that I couldn't believe come out of Emmanuel's mouth. He said, "And now we believe the baton has been passed to David Hunter." And I asked the interpreter next to me, I said, "Did I hear that right? Did he just say that the mantle or the baton's been passed to me, the T.L. Osborne thing?" So then he said, "Yeah, that's what he said." And then I just had a conversation with the Lord right there. Amen. In the crusade. Amen. And I lifted up my hands and I said, "God, how does this work?" I said, "Is that true?" And God said, "Yes, it is." And I said, how in the world? Why me?" And you know what the Lord told me? Just as loud and just as plain as anything, he said, "Because you were the first one to ask me for it."
Hmm.
And wow. I think there's a power in coming to him like a little child and asking.
Absolutely.
Just like a little child would, you know, "Hey, I'd like some ice cream." "Hey, man, I want some more. Give me some more salsa. You know, I'd like a little more Coke." You know, it's coming to him. You know, he said healing is the children's bread. In so many different references, as you are like a child coming to me. So I really believe it's a new season where mantles are available.
Absolutely.
For us. And
absolutely,
we can mantle ourselves.
Absolutely. We're in Nairobi. I mean, you figure this will happen in India because that's where K. Paul was. I'm in Nairobi preaching in the slums in this slum district area. And I was just preaching, and it's the bishop beside me, he's very similar to your gifts, and he just looked up, and he's just looking up. I keep watching him, and I'm preaching and stuff, and I reached out my hand to greet the crowd. I'm like this, doing that, and I cupped my hand like that, and for some reason, just put my hand like coming down, and then we got back to the hotel. He goes, "Did you see what happened?" I'm like, "No." I go, "No, I didn't see it." He goes, I seen an archangel come out of heaven, and he brought down to you a mantle from K.A. Paul. He goes,
wow.
And he's giving you K.A.
Wow.
Paul's, he's giving you K.A. Paul's mantle. He goes, and God said, "Because you served. When no other would serve," he goes, "you served. And you served regardless," he goes, "because you served faithfully. You were faithful."
Right.
And I was like, "Amen." Nothing different happened for me there at that
right,
second. But
right.
I just reached my hand out. And he said, "When you reached your hand out," he goes, "the angel put it in your hands."
Oh, I love it.
And he goes, "And you just put it," he goes, "you put it in your pocket." You
yeah.
just put it, awesome. And I think that was symbolic. That I'll use it when I have to take it out. I'll take it out. You know.
Yeah.
And that's amazing. And anyway, it some good stuff. And I want to tell you about this kid that was, and not to get off script, but there's this kid, and he shared something so interesting. I have this website called ChristianMovieAuditions.com, and I get all these videos and people from kids and young people and adults that want to be actors. Well, he came up. He left me a have a little form you fill out, name, email. You know, little place where you can put your YouTube video or whatever so I can see your audition and whatever. And he put this in there. It was the most heart-wrenching just testimony of why he wants to do things for God. And he just said, "Wow. I just want to be a Christian. I just want to show God to everybody. And if I can do something in acting that will bring light and bring someone." And just you have to hear it. I'll show it to you after the show. But But one thing he said is, he goes, I just know there's a lot of people out there that want a Savior but don't want a Lord.
Wow.
And for 12-year-old, 12-year-old to say that.
Wow.
That wants a Savior but doesn't want the Lord.
Wow.
And I'm like, that's an amazing, amazing thing. And we're running out of time. Stein, you got a couple of minute sermon there, 3 minute sermon?
I can share something if you want me to.
Yeah, we're going to finish up with you. Speaking, just go ahead and speak in there, brother.
You know, it's important as a man of God that you must always encourage people. You must always, when you leave a place, you must always leave a hope behind. People must feel like, you know, there's a tomorrow, and the sun will shine again. And, you know, all over the world you have some challenges and problems and mountains and giants and storms that you are facing. And I just want to encourage everyone that's listening at this moment that there's a breakthrough sound in your praise.
Yes.
Amen.
When you read the Bible in the book of Acts chapter 16, you will find in verse 25, 26 about, it's a story about Paul and Silas that were sitting at midnight praying and singing hymns to God. And the Bible says the other prisoners were listening. And verse 26 says that suddenly an earthquake came and the foundations of the prison was shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and the prisoners' chains fell off. Let me say this to you, you know, the enemy can hurt your body, but he can never bind your spirit.
Amen.
You know, in this portion of scriptures, you find that the Bible says it was at midnight, in their darkest hour.
Yes.
And many times we're experiencing dark hours, and we go through times of suffering, you go through times of pain and distress and heartache and disappointments. But these two men, in the midst of all of this, they were sitting and they were singing and praying. Now, according to me, the sound of a praise and the sound of a prayer is an uncommon sound in an environment called a prison. You know, so
that's true.
They were singing and they were praying, and that what was on their inside was not affected by what was on the outside.
Amen.
And you know, so they were praying and they were singing, and you know, when I studied this portion of scriptures a while ago, I asked myself, you know, in the midst of all of this, in darkness, in the middle of the night, with all of this experience they are experiencing, with all of this going on around them, how can they sing a song? And I found a scripture in the Bible, in the book of Job, chapter 35, verse 10. And it is God that's giving you the song in the night.
Mm.
And the Bible says, but no one says, where is God my maker? Who gives songs in the night? So you can have darkness all around you. You can go through time of trouble and distress, challenges, storms. You have a song to sing.
Come on.
Amen.
And there is a sound of breakthrough in the praise. The other amazing thing about this whole story is that while they were singing an uncommon sound in an environment that was not suitable for that sound, the other prisoners were listening to them. And as Christians, as men and women of God, we have a sound that we have to release, and others are also affected by the sound that's on our inside. So the other prisoners were listening to them, and they also heard that this is an unfamiliar sound to the environment. And their prayers, Paul and Silas's prayers and praise, was shaking heaven, and heaven came down, and heaven was shaking earth, and the foundations cracked up, and the chains came off because of the sound.
Mm.
So maybe today there's someone that's listening to us, and their prison house may be a sickness, their prison house may be a financial situation, it may be a depression, you know, something at home, something at work, maybe it's a mother-in-law for that
matter.
But you know what? This is the real deal here. God's arm is not too short to help you, and His ear is not too deaf to hear you.
Amen.
Regardless of situations, circumstances, and stuff that you're facing or going through, God is there for you. And on top of that, you have a sound inside of you that can bring a turnaround and a change and a shift that you need. So let me conclude this, just bringing it all together, that God can turn your pain into praise.
Mm, amen. Amen.
And one last thought that I want to share with this is, you know, Satan came and he took Paul and Silas, and he chained them, he beat them, he imprisoned them. I mean, he did the most horrific things to them. But Satan made one mistake in this story. And the mistake that he made was that he placed two praisers in the same cell.
Like
so when you get together with your neighbor, with your husband, with your wife, with your children, whoever for that matter, and you start praising, then stuff will happen. Stuff will happen. Mm-hmm. Breakthrough will come. Release will come. Deliverance will come. Change will come. So we need to work together, live together, praise together. And the amazing thing is this. The Bible talks about Judah, which means praise.
Mm-hmm.
And if you read the Bible, you will find that Judah prays at five descendants. And they were called Perez, Hezron, Carmi, Hur, and Shobal. And you know, you have a sound inside of you, and that sound is a praise, and your praise have five descendants. And if you go and look at the meaning of all these names, you will find that your sound, the praise in your mouth, has a descendant that's called breakthrough. It has a descendant that's called, this is a weapon for my warfare. It's called a descendant that God is changing every desolate place into a fruitful place.
Come on.
You know, there's a sound in your mouth, and the sound in your mouth, the praise that you have, as a descendant, that's your protection. And lastly, your praise has a descendant that's called overflow.
Mm.
God has come to give us life and life in abundance. Not when you are dead, but now while you're on earth. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. A life of liberty, victory, and freedom, and overflow in Jesus' name.
Amen. Oh. Brother, would you pray for us before we leave?
I'll pray. Father, thank you that we can come together and sit around your word and just experiencing your presence in this place. Father, we want to pray now for everyone that's listening to this broadcast. You know the prison houses. You know the storms. You know the challenges that they are facing. And we know in this studio this morning that you are not limited to time, space, or any geographical area. So right now we know we can pray here and your spirit can move wherever it is that people are listening. And we want to pray that you will minister to them now, Holy Spirit. We want to pray that you will comfort them, that you will lift them up, that you will dust them off, pick them up, and put them back on their feet again. Father, I pray that people will now feel your presence, that they will encounter your love and your grace. Father, thank you that we can pray for every listener, and we can declare and decree over them that goodness and mercy shall follow them all the days of their life. Father, we decree and declare over them that they are coming out of their prison houses, and you are breaking off the chains, and you are bringing them into a place of liberty, victory, and freedom, so that they can be in a place in their lives where people around them can come and taste and see that the God that we serve is good. We appreciate you, Father. We love you and we adore you. And we want to thank you for everything that you have done, that you are doing, and about to do for us. In Jesus' name, yes. Amen.
Amen. Yes, Brother David, you got anything you want to say?
Yeah, I just want to let people know, if you want to keep up with us, you want to stay in the revival loop, you want to stay connected to supernatural meetings, you can text.
That sounds like a good website, Revival Loop.
Revival Loop. Or you want to get looped in Revival.
We better go get that domain name. But go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
go
ahead. Just the text is text 41411, and then the keyword in your text box would be Global Fire. And hit send, and that'll put you there. And then you can also visit the website, www.ointmentforkings.com. And let me say, I love Rev Media.
Man.
I think it's absolutely one of the key things that God is breathing on right now.
Amen.
Not just in this region, not just in this city, but it's global. It
Amen.
Is absolutely
Amen.
Global. There are people
Amen.
In Germany listening to us right now.
Amen.
There are people in Cologne, Germany listening to us. There are people in Kampala, Uganda, Busia, Uganda, sitting in little internet cafes listening to us right now. And so what a blessing that is. And Kenya listening to us right now. The Ukraine. What an incredible tool for the gospel this is. And I would just challenge people to sow into it. Be a part of it. Ask God how you can help Rev Media and David Yanez. And it's a blessing
to call you friend, David. And,
amen.
And
amen.
I just love you and so appreciate your ministry,
amen,
and what
well,
you're doing.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that. It's always a pleasure to have men of God of like-minded. Do you have a website you want to throw out there as well?
Yeah, I do. I'm on Facebook.
Okay.
You know, David Steyn. They can find me there. And then I do have a page for David Steyn Ministries that's also on Facebook. And I do have a website that's www.davidsteynministries.com.
You might have to spell that for them because they may not. Okay. You want to spell it?
D-E-W-E-T. And then the last name, S-T-E-Y-N.
That's it.
Pronounced David Steyn.
Amen. Thank you, both of y'all, for being a part of the broadcast today. I got to catch a plane, so we'll catch you later on the Midwatch. I'll be back on Tuesday. God bless y'all.
The views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this station, this show, or its hosts.